Welcome in, 8 o'clock. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. You can text or call us, 970-242-1340. How about this story? It's been out there for a while. The Brett Favre story. You probably have heard about what Brett Favre has been accused of doing. Basically, robbing the people blind in the state of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
So Favre, it's now been 2 years ago that this all started, where Brett Favre was involved in one of the biggest embezzlement scandals in Mississippi history. It's over the weekend. He's now one of 38 defendants accused of misusing welfare funds intended to alleviate poverty in one of the poorest states in the country, the state of Mississippi. That Favre, in the scheme, he has had a relationship with this lady, Nancy New, was a nonprofit director who had access to millions in welfare funds. John Davis, no relation, by the way. Let me be very clear about that. John Davis is the former director of the Mississippi Department of Human Services, who allocated the money in the first place, including $68 million in federal welfare money from the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. And the funds, that funding was used to provide help for Mississippi's low-income families. And News Nonprofit allegedly invested millions into Favre's pet projects, including $8 million tied to Favre's business ventures and a new athletic facility at the University of Southern Mississippi. It was a new volleyball arena for the volleyball team. Guess whose kid played for the Southern Mississippi volleyball team?
I'm going to say Brett Favre.
Brett Favre's kid played for the Golden Eagles of Southern Mississippi. He was paid $1.1 million by News Nonprofit for event appearances and speaking engagements that he didn't perform at. He has since repaid that money. That $1.1 million. But he also knew that the same nonprofit allocated $5 million at his request toward the new volleyball facility at Southern Miss. And so it made him look like he was this big hero, right? Look what I did for the alma mater. Brand new volleyball arena. Yeah, with somebody else's money. Money intended for the poor people of the state of Mississippi. And then he went back and asked the Davis anew, because he was looking for investors for Prevacus. It's a startup drug company. They have a concussion treatment that they're trying to get on the market. He invested $1 million of his own money, and then he tried to get the NFL involved, and they passed. And then Favre turned to Governor Phil Bryant for helping get Prevacus off the ground. 2 days after meeting with the governor, Favre texted Prevacus's founder, Jake Van Landingham, and so apparently told him that text Nancy New and include me if you want, and basically ask her if she can help with investors. So because initially he was, I paid that money back and I knew that was wrong, but that's where he kind of stopped publicly saying that he was involved in this whole thing. Well, this is saying that's not accurate. He was encouraging this guy to go ask Nancy New for money to invest in Prevacus with funds that were earmarked for the impoverished people of the state of Mississippi. The old below the belt slinger, remember that situation, sending pictures of his junk to, she was Jets cheerleader at that, or Jets, she covered
sideline,
the, covered
like
the Jets.
In-house sideline reporter, yeah. Jen Sturger?
Sturger or something, yeah.
Sturger.
It's just, he was taking money from a group of people that, in his home state, that desperately needed that money for his own business ventures. Talk about the bad and the ugly right there. Look, you already had negative thoughts about Brett Favre after the deal with Jen Sturger.
Mm-hmm.
you know, you felt sorry for him because he got addicted to painkillers and his father passed away and the great performance on Monday Night Football. There were moments about Brett Favre you go, okay, the resiliency, the, hey, I'll throw a pick, I'll throw maybe two picks, but I'll go throw four touchdowns. Never afraid to stop slinging around the yard. There are things about Brett Favre you went, okay, I like this guy. And then you read stuff like this and what he did to his wife, sending it pictures to Jen Sturger, that you go, what a piece of garbage. What a bad human being. Because he knew what the money was used for, what it was going to be, it was allocated for. And shame on these other awful, despicable human beings. Makes it tough to think good things about Brett Favre, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you probably shouldn't take anybody that has any sort of influence at face value as to what type of person they are. Because yeah. As a player, we all thought, hey, you know what? He struggled with painkillers, but man, what a great guy.
What a great comeback. People deal with that, addiction issues. Mm-hmm. What a triumph and what a great story, right? That he was able to overcome that.
It seems the more we learn about athletes in retirement, actors, you know, famous people with sway, they all kind of suck. That's why I'm not surprised about any of this.
Well, I don't want to say, because it's a broad brushstroke, I don't want to say everybody, but you find out more often than not, right?
Mm-hmm.
That guys you thought or individuals you thought were okay, they weren't that. They weren't okay.
Right.
There were despicable, terrible things about them.
Yeah.
And there's
just
no way
had the means and the manners and the methods to keep it quiet that not everybody has.
That's why
stuff like this doesn't surprise me anymore.
Man, it just blows my mind. So there you go. There's a bad and the ugly for you to start out the hour as we talk.
At least one person was honest about it. Charles Barkley, I'm not a role model.
Yeah, he was blunt about
it.
All right. So we want your good, the bad, the ugly today. We got one from Mike from Scottsdale earlier about fellow Buff Spencer Dinwiddie. 9 more points than Booker and Chris Paul last night.
Mm-hmm.
So, Peyton, what about you? Anything? Good, bad, the ugly
from
the weekend?
I mean, we finally got, we know when the Avs are playing the Blues.
Tomorrow
night. That is a good to me. Bad, CMU this weekend, you know, losing to Metro State in the championship, RMAC.
Ugly, the classless way Metro State.
And the ugly, I was sitting back here in the studio and Greg Wenzel was on the call and Rio was down on the field. But Greg's like, there's something going on. I'm like, God, I want to see it. Like, what's going on? That is definitely ugly.
Buckeye boy, how close were you to, you were standing far enough away, right?
Well, they were kind of, you know, going at it and escorting coaches away from each other before I got onto the field.
Oh, okay.
So you were safe.
I was safe. And then I kind of got on to the field and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stand over here for a minute.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay over here.
And I don't know who it was, and I don't know her name, and I don't mean to throw her under the bus at all, but there was an RMAC conference representative there, and God bless her. She was the only person between the two teams for like a good 5 minutes.
Ooh, that's like, not good.
What is she hoping to do at that point? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
She might get one, but there's like 60 of these guys. And a lot of them were ready to go.
Yeah.
Players and coaches alike.
Well, fortunately, it didn't end up that way.
It didn't get that way. But there was some jawing back and forth between players and coaches on both sides.
So just so you know, the Mavericks, they got the number 2 seed in the South Central region. So they split the South Central region up. So Angelo State's got the number 1 seed. And they're hosting Texas A&M, Kingsville, and Metro State. Mavericks will host here later this week. We still don't know exactly what time or day just yet. We're thinking probably Thursday. And they will host West Texas A&M and St. Edwards over at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex. So we'll have games either here on the team or they'll be over on 1100 KNZZ 92.7 FM.
There's a couple people from the herd, the Maverick fan base. A little unfortunate and kind of, you know, missing out because they were yelling at Metro, "We'll see you next weekend." Probably not.
No. Now, if they find a way to win that, that tournament, you know, at San Angelo, then, and the Mavericks do, then yeah, then they would get a chance to see each other. All right, just want to, before we talk some NFL stuff here, we did not get a chance to get to some of the playoff results from this last weekend because we had the Central and Delta girls soccer teams both playing in the postseason this past weekend. And after Central won their first ever soccer playoff match in school history, unfortunately, Doug Beach and the Warrior girls, they lost at top seed Windsor 3-0 Saturday in the 4A postseason. Also, the Delta girls soccer team, they had one of the best seasons ever in school history. Their season ended in the 3A playoffs. They lost to Colorado Academy 7-0. Also, the Fruit of Monmouth boys lacrosse team, they had won their first ever playoff match with the victory in overtime over Dakota Ridge. They fell 17-0 in defending champion Mountain Vista in the 5A tournament. Still great seasons, though, for all of those teams, the Central and Delta girls soccer teams and the Fruit of Monmouth boys lacrosse team. All right, text or call the show, 970-242-1340. John Elway with some thoughts. For the first time publicly commenting on the Broncos getting Russell Wilson. And Elway telling Altitude's Vic Lombardi that we're excited that he's in town. There's no question he was the piece we needed. We had a good football team around him, and I think George Payton did a tremendous job of putting the deal together and getting him here. It's great to see the fan base energized again. Okay. I'm not sure why it took John so long to comment on Russell Wilson coming to Denver. But, you know, before we start cracking on Elway, though, and go, well, yeah, you couldn't get that guy. Well, he did get Peyton Manning. Let's be fair. He was the guy that recruited Peyton Manning to come to Denver. It was his sales job, you know, like selling that gently used Civic to somebody on one of his lots. Not that he ever really did that, but but he did a great sales job for Peyton Manning. Hall of Famer to soon to be Hall of Famer. And while yes, Elway, the job that he did in finding the next guy didn't go very well, at least he did get a quarterback that was going to go to the Hall of Fame, that did get them to two Super Bowls, and they did win a Super Bowl with that guy, Peyton Manning, as their quarterback. And Elway was a guy that played a key role in Manning making his decision to come to the Broncos.
And in John's defense, which I don't like to do, you know, normally I'm not that guy, not very many front office people find two. Whether it's through the draft or free agency or blind, stupid luck. Not very many guys find two, right?
Right.
And before you come at me with the, oh, look at the Colts, they found Andrew Luck. He won as much as you and I did when it was all said and done. So not everybody finds two. And I think the automatic assumption that, well, it's just going to happen. Every time there's a quarterback, we're going to find one. I think that's a little unfair to everybody that's been in that job. But when you repeatedly swing and miss at 8 or 10 guys, then yeah, you probably deserve some criticism about it. And when there's some middle ground there.
And when you passed on the guy that is now going to be a Hall of Famer, guy that you went out and traded for, when you passed on that guy yourself, John, and that would be one Russell Wilson, because he did, he was there, they could have drafted him,
right?
They passed on him.
And again, I don't like you putting me in a position to defend your guy, but everyone, the Seahawks passed on him twice.
I know, but there's still that's not one.
Right, it's not like the Rodgers.
It's not one page of the story. It's one of many pages of the story. But you're right, a lot of people passed on him. I agree with you on that. But then, if that was just the one thing, but it's not the one thing, is it?
No.
It's trading up to get Paxton Lynch. How has that worked out? It was...
That's what I mean. Once you get 8 or 10 of them under your belt of whiffs, then you're not looking great at doing the job.
One's an isolated thing, and that's fine. But but passing on Russell Wilson's part of the long narrative...
No, it is.
...of swings and misses.
And that turns the shrewd free agent acquisition of Peyton Manning into the blind luck territory. You know what I mean? To where you've not been able to, no matter how hard you try, replicate that. So this is more lucky than good the first time
around. But he did have to do a sales job on Manning. Manning had other places that he had gone to, other opportunities, and he, mm-hmm. according to all reports, when they were at Castle Pines, I believe.
Yeah.
And Manning was sitting at the bar, and the whole story goes that there was a struggle for him on where he wanted to go and play. And even a lot of self-doubt about whether or not he still physically could get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And Elway was the guy that sat down and kind of talked to him, Hall of Famer to soon to be Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Big forehead. and so there was that kind of camaraderie between two guys that operate in pretty rarefied air.
Mm-hmm. And not many GMs, if any, can talk on that level with Peyton Manning, right? And John Elway can.
And Elway could do that.
I'm not saying it was nothing but luck, but, I mean, Lynch and Osweiler and Simeon and Flacco and Keenum and Drew Locke and Kendall Hinton and whoever else you want to name that threw passes for the quarterback.
Let's not throw Kendall Hinton in there. It's not fair.
But he was unable to replicate that.
Right.
Scouting, you can replicate. You can replicate good drafts if it's talent evaluation, right? You can replicate that. He was not able to replicate getting another quarterback of that stature, whether drafting him or bringing him in. That's what I'm saying is
Osweiler Simeon came the closest probably mm-hmm. to that.
There's skill involved in that, and there's being John Elway, but there's also some luck that Peyton Manning was even in that position that John Elway had nothing to do with him being available.
Yeah, you're right. There was some luck involved. There was luck that the Manning was available.
Mm-hmm.
Though there was a risk. I mean, Denver was taking a risk on Peyton Manning and whether or not he could be anything close to what he once was.
5 years, $100 million was a lot of money for a guy we didn't know was going to play again.
For at one point, couldn't throw the ball more than 10 yards. And was really doubting whether or not he physically could play anymore.
Yeah. They didn't give that kind of money to Tim Tebow. Same situation. Couldn't throw the ball more than 10 yards.
Yeah. Well,
I look forward to your letters.
I'm just saying, in the case of Elway, he does deserve credit, though, for the things he got right, which was drafting Von Miller, which, okay, there were a lot of guys he could have taken there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have the number two pick in the draft,
you're probably going to get it right.
You're probably, unless you're the Browns or the Bengals, you're probably not going to screw it up.
Yeah.
Probably not. And
the last
John
couple
didn't.
Times around, Browns haven't screwed it up.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett, pretty good.
Yeah, I think the narrative on John's always going to be tough to figure out as a GM, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things he appeared that he did well. And there are things that were kind of just how much of it was when, like, for example, free agents coming in, how much of that was Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
We tend to think of a lot of it was Peyton Manning and not so much John Elway. So I also saw this story on Pro Football Talk about back in 2014 mm-hmm. that there was some discussion about moving the Raiders to St. Louis. Did you catch this story over the weekend?
No, I missed it.
Now, according to Pro Football Talk, also SI has an article on this as well. The Rams, remember, they moved from St. Louis to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of, you know, a lot of blowback, certainly from the state of Missouri, from the city of St. Louis. You know, Stan Kroenke. It got the NFL in a bad situation in terms of lawsuits from the city of St. Louis against the NFL and against Kroenke.
You get one team that used to be in Los Angeles. Now you get another team that used to be in Los Angeles.
Well, according to the report that came out, and this is through the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, that when the talks about kind of takes it through the Kroenke's decision to move the Rams to L.A. and some of the other things that became involved in that. And part of that report includes the league considering moving the Raiders to St. Louis as the franchise was deciding that there was going to be the second team in L.A. with the Chargers, or actually to go along with the Rams, was going to be the Chargers, or was it going to be the Raiders? It'd be that second team. And so, according to the report, the owners talked about moving the team to St. Louis in 2014 before the Rams move was official. At one league owners meeting, this is from SI, they discussed a restructured ownership for the Raiders along with a brand makeover and a focus on a special diversity initiative, but the talks didn't go anywhere. Some owners defended St. Louis in spite of the city losing its football team. Cardinals owner Michael Bidwell didn't like the message the league was sending by vacating the city, which, wait a minute, Michael Bidwell, your dad, Bill, did that. He took the Cardinals yep. and moved them to Arizona. And Bagels owner Mike Brown was opposed to the Rams moving out in the first place. Brown was the only owner to vote no when it was time to officially vote on the Rams move. Now, some of this is also because of what's been going on lately with the allegations against the Raiders organization and Mark Davis about a hostile workplace and some of those things have gone on. At the NFL, they've had a problem with Mark Davis for quite some time. And so at that point in time, the feeling was...
Part of that's genetic, too.
Yeah, maybe we need to find a way to remove him as the owner. Raiders go to St. Louis, and we avoid this big lawsuit from the city of St. Louis. Didn't work out that way. Raiders end up moving to Vegas. And now if the Raiders go up for sale at some point, that's going to be like a $10 million franchise now, right? Brand new stadium. I mean, mm-hmm. say if it gets sold the next couple of years. Not that Mark Davis wants to sell it, but there's some heat starting to build now on some of these allegations of, like I said, a hostile work environment, you know, which Mark Davis oversees the Raiders and their organizational structure. And so there could be a case where what they were not able to do with Daniel Snyder,
mm-hmm.
they might be able to do with Mark Davis.
And I think, at least for Mark, if Snyder gets to keep his franchise, Mark Davis is going to get to keep the Raiders because there's way more smoke coming out of Washington than there is out of Las Vegas, at least right now. You know what I mean? So that's still a little wonky to me. It's like, oh, they're going to get Mark. Well, they refuse to do anything to, I just lost his name. The Washington
Commander. Dan Snyder. Dan Snyder.
His name just completely slipped out of my head. They refuse. It's not like they can't get Daniel Snyder or they, you know, have been trying. They refuse to do anything about it. Why are they going to be any different with Mark Davis as opposed to outside the fact, I mean, that the NFL just doesn't like him.
And didn't like his dad.
Right.
And so that played a role in it. And Dan Vitrello was fired by Davis. He was the team president, and he's the one mm-hmm. that brought up the multiple written complaints from employees that Mark Davis created a hostile work environment, engaged in other potential misconduct that caused him great concern.
And if Mark Davis does lose his franchise, the NFL is going to get sued. They're going to get sued hard, and they're probably going to lose with the whole Dan Snyder situation.
And the
I mean,
team
there's
is owned
a congressional investigation into the Dan Snyder situation.
Yeah, and the team is owned. The Raiders are owned by Mark Davis and his mother, Carol, Al's late wife,
uh-huh.
His widow. And I don't – there was something I was reading that she – something to do with – she has more of the controlling interest of it, and he
That's
doesn't. And so that there's some issues there in regard to – who actually controls the actual ownership of the Raiders moving forward.
Hmm.
Also, and we're going to talk more about this coming up in Good Call, Bad Call. Drew Brees, according to reports, leaving NBC.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And that there's some talk about Drew Brees maybe coming back to the league. I'm going to save that
Ooh.
Because that's going to be Good Call, Bad Call coming up a little bit, at least for me anyway. All right, 8:25. It's Monday. That means it's time to play the number game.
Let's play the number game on the Jim Davis Show.
It is time for the number game. The answer is always a number. And the first correct answer gets a case of Coors Banquet, courtesy of our friends at High Country Beverage. There have been 9 total playoff games by the Colorado Avalanche against the St. Louis Blues. What is the jersey number of the Avs' all-time leading goal scorer against the Blues in playoff hockey? I need his jersey number. Not the name. You can send him the name all day long until you give me the jersey number. It is incorrect. 9 total playoff games against the Blues in franchise history since moving from Quebec. What's the jersey number? The Colorado Avalanche all-time leading goal scorer.
All right, first correct answer wins. Case of Coors Banquet Beer from High Country Beverage. Text in your answer right now. Must be 21. If you won the last 2 weeks, you have to sit it out. Text in now. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa. The team.
Welcome back, 8:30. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. We've got Peyton in here as well. It's a big weekend. You're not graduating, but your girlfriend is.
My girlfriend is, and she's got her whole family coming up, and they're doing a whole graduation party.
All right.
So it's going to be a busy weekend, even though I'm not graduating.
Will there be Peyton graduation party when you graduate?
Possibly. Maybe not. I mean, most of my friends, like, she's doing a joint one with a couple of people, so it's going to be even bigger, but... I mean, I don't think it'll be too crazy a thing. It'll be just kind of some more, you know, family, and that's it. So,
is that a may not be anything to celebrate type hesitation?
Oh, no, not at all. Okay, you're on track. I'm on track to graduate in 6 months from now, so.
Will the Buckeye Boy and myself be extended an invitation to your graduation?
Hey, that's super.
I'm just going to put you right on the spot. You're on the air.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Well, we'll see. We'll see if he remembers us in 6 months, whether or not we get invited or not.
That greatly affects your internship evaluation.
Okay. I thought those were already in.
I already turned it in. So it's too late. Sorry, man. It's too late. Should have asked you this question last week before I filled it out. Jeez. All right. So it is Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. So what makes that list for you from this past weekend or this past week? Text or call us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Do we have a winner yet for the number game, by the way?
That's a good question.
Okay, well, why don't you take a look at that?
I'm going to look.
All right, examine that. Dylan's got a good, the bad, the ugly. Toronto Maple Leafs fans fighting each other on the concourse after their Game 7 loss Saturday. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. We do have a winner.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
A couple of correct answers. First one in the door, at least from what I can see. Scott, correctly identifying. Number 29, Nathan MacKinnon. 6 goals against Blues in their last playoff matchup a couple, 3 years ago. So congratulations, Scott.
All right, way to go, Scott. All right, 8:32. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today. Peyton also hanging out with us here in the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. I saw this article because last Thursday is when the schedule came out. And for the Broncos, they end up getting 7 standalone games this season, starting with Monday Night Football at Seattle, September 12th. There's the Jacksonville game in London, the Sunday night game at Empower Field Mile High against San Francisco, Colts on a Thursday night. So they get 7 games that are standalone games. And NFL executive Mike North made the statement, because they had a conference call Friday about it. You don't draft your way into prime time. You don't trade your way into prime time. You play your way into prime time. Okay. And this is coming from somebody who, I'm a diehard Broncos fan. I love the Broncos. You know that. If you listen to this show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also, I'd like to think, realist enough and try to be objective enough to go, yeah, he's wrong about that, because the Broncos did trade their way into being in 7 standalone games. If Russell Wilson's not there, let's say that trade never happens, and it's Drew Lock and it's Teddy Bridgewater. They're at the helm of the Broncos in 2022. that those are your quarterback choices. Coming off a 7-win season, do you think Denver gets anywhere close to 7 standalone games? Not no, but hell no.
Right.
Hard no. They might get one, maybe. Maybe. So, but not 7. If Russell Wilson's not there, there's no way they get 7 standalone games.
Let's go one at a time through these.
Okay.
Broncos at Seahawks, Monday Night Football.
That's Russell Wilson.
That's the Russell Wilson trade.
That's the only reason that game's on Monday Night Football.
So Maury says that is a lie. San Francisco and Denver. Does San Francisco play their way into a primetime game? Sure.
Yep.
An NFC championship game?
Okay, yeah. Sure.
You know what? And they got to play somebody. So, okay. So
yeah, okay.
That one's a soft okay.
Yeah.
Then you have Thursday Night Football against the Colts. Apparently no one wants to play that game on Sunday. They only play the Colts on Thursdays now. Both teams traded into that standalone game.
Yeah, with Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson.
Absolutely. And then you have Monday Night Football, the next game. So they go Thursday, Monday. That's at the Chargers. Division game, kind of saucy. Yeah. Justin Herbert in L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
but,
so,
yeah, but still, you know, why is the AFC West the hot division right now?
Because of the Russell Wilson trade.
Because of Russell Wilson.
And they, I mean, the division was good to begin with. Yeah. It's going to be deep, but that puts the Broncos, Chargers. Chargers, maybe they're on their own, but the Broncos in that game is a Russell Wilson trade. Then you have the Jag game. No one wants to watch that game, not even Broncos, Jags fans. And if you're like, if you're really locked in on that game, then you need a hobby.
Let's say that's just a game that nobody really wanted to play, but but Denver and Jacksonville happen to be the teams that...
If you're not getting paid to lock in on that game, you probably should mow your grass or something.
7:30 in the morning our time, folks, by the way.
Yeah, on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
And then you have Chiefs Broncos Sunday Night Football. Again, that could probably be there anyway. We've seen some bad Broncos teams play the Chiefs in prime time. Russell Wilson helps, but you know what? I'm going to give the Broncos that one. I'm not going to say that's
because of the history. We've seen them play some primetime games even without the the cachet of a talent like Russell Wilson.
And then Christmas Day against the Super Bowl champions. You're back in Los Angeles. You play 17 games in 9 stadiums.
Denver doesn't get that. They don't get that game unless it's Russell Wilson.
They don't get that game unless it's Russell Wilson. They end up playing the Rams because they're going to play the Rams anyway. But NFC West division collision with just one player on the other side because it's Russell Wilson playing the Rams. You know, when they went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, Russell Wilson beat the Rams twice in the regular season. So that's the Russell Wilson trade. So 5 of the 7 standalone games can be traced back to that Russell Wilson trade.
Because to me, the Jacksonville Broncos game, that's nobody wants that game, really. Right. Let's be. I mean, I know they say, well, we really want to go to London and play. Nobody really wants that game.
And that's a standalone game. That's not a primetime game.
Yeah. Difference between primetime.
Right. That's a Bloody Mary game because you're still kind of drunk from last night, Saturday night. You're maybe hungover if you stopped early.
And so don't, Mike North, don't say, oh, you can't trade into it. Yes, you can.
You put two teams in one game trading into it. The Colts or the Broncos.
That's exactly why they got 7 standalone games.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Definitely 5. A couple, like the Chiefs one, that one's probably going to be there at some
point. But let's be honest. Maybe they only probably won. Coming off a 7-win season. No matter how good we might think this team is, even if before Russell Wilson showed up, they got one that would have probably been fair. You should have been just polluting your britches with joy.
Right.
Because it's one more than you should have probably got.
If they were going to give every team as many standalone games as wins they got the previous season, Tampa Bay would not be playing during the daytime. You know, they have as many standalone games as games they won. That's definitely not playing your way.
I just have an issue. Don't sit here. Don't take a leak.
Don't pee on me. Tell me it's raining.
When you say, well, you can't trade into those games. They did. They traded into those games.
And you know it's bad when they earned their way into that game. And fans of that team are like, how?
I can't say that. And I love the Broncos. There's no way they deserve 7 standalone games.
No.
unless, of course, it's because, well, it's because of Russell Wilson, and that's now I'm fine with that. If that's, but don't tell us the criteria is one thing, right, and then you would go through it, and clearly the criteria is something else.
The Browns play 15 games at 1 Eastern.
Yeah.
They play a Thursday night game against the Steelers. That one always has a little primetime cachet. The Browns have been winless and in primetime against the Steelers. And then they have Monday night football, the Halloween orange battle between the Browns and the Bengals. And that's it. Every other game is at 1 o'clock because they don't go anywhere west of New Orleans.
And then you have Mike North, who is the, by the way, here's his official title, NFL VP of Broadcast Planning, who also commented on the fact that Detroit does not have any night games, even though they're doing Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
North said of the Lions, this is from Pro Football Talk, unattractive is not the right word. The real thing for us is, again, we look at them on national windows, and we can never lose sight of the fact that Thanksgiving afternoon window, at 12:30 window in Detroit, most years is the number two or number three most watched NFL game every year. So there's no hesitation in putting the Lions in a national window like that. Mike North, they've been in that window for decades.
Right. There are people that think that's their birthright.
That they should play on Thanksgiving Day, right, which you and I both, we don't agree with that. No. It's, come on. The Lions don't deserve to have their own game, nor do the Cowboys deserve to be on Thanksgiving every freaking Thanksgiving.
Right.
But once again, here's the inconsistency in talking out both sides of their mouth about, so the Lions, well, yeah, they get that game every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lions, record-wise, weren't all that much worse than the Broncos. Oh, wait a minute. They have Jared Goff,
yeah,
and we have Russell Wilson.
And it's like saying, you know what? They don't need any primetime games because the Rams are in Los Angeles. It's all primetime. It's showtime, baby.
Yeah.
That's the same thing as, you know, what he's saying about the Lions, essentially.
Yeah. So, look, I'm thrilled, okay? 7 standalone games, primetime games.
Yeah, that's right.
But it doesn't mean that I think that the Broncos deserve all those games.
And you better be good. The Browns had a lot of primetime games a couple of years ago and finished like 6-11. So
Shut up.
6-10.
Shut up.
You better be good at those standalone games.
You shut up. Or else I don't want to hear that.
Gonna get it a lot.
One final thing. We go north of the border, eh?
Eh?
Eh? Our buddies in the Canadian Football League, eh?
Eh?
They're on strike right now. That players from 7 CFL teams have been instructed to stay away from the field during training camp after the labor deal between the labor, the union, the players union, and the CFL expired. And so they met, both sides met for 16 hours on Friday, met again on Saturday, and then the CFL Players Association rejected the league's most recent proposal Saturday afternoon. And so last night, apparently the CFLPA had a town hall meeting. According to TSN, there are three main sticking points. The two sides are not that far apart. So maybe possibly Canadian football, eh? It'll happen this summer, eh?
Yeah, just throw in a couple of extra boxes of tinnies.
Exactly. Just throw in a couple of Krellers.
Yeah.
Some Molsons. You know, a couple of Edmonton Elks.
A Labatt's, baby. A
couple of Edmonton Elks toques.
Yeah.
And we'll be good to go, eh? Maybe some Ottawa Red Blacks. So that'd be great. An Ottawa Red Blacks jersey would be awesome. I'd love that. Thank you, buddy.
Maybe get the guys who broke up the Maple Leafs fan fight to go into that room.
Yeah, maybe so. They could
get
that.
Those are two guys from the same side fighting.
They could probably get that sorted out, you know? I bet you they could. And everybody could say, hey, look, sorry. Sorry we had this problem. Sorry.
Or they just, I'm not your buddy, guy.
So let's go to Tim Hortons. And let's have a cup of Joe and some Krellers, and we'll
I'm
be
not
okay.
Your guy, friend.
And everything will be okay.
Not
be
your
all
friend,
right,
buddy.
All right, 8:44. We will take a break. We'll come back. No, let's go ahead and do four down territory. We have to do good call, bad call right now. I'm sorry. I'm getting my days totally screwed up here.
Yeah.
Good call, bad call right now.
Was that a good call or did they totally blow it? It's good call or bad call.
You want to start it out here?
I do not, actually, because I don't have anything.
Great. Peyton, what about you? Fortunately, I've got something, but I'm going to extend opportunities to the two of you.
I did not come prepared for the good call, bad call. I normally don't get tossed in on this.
You suck.
Always be prepared.
I could look.
Always
but
be. No.
Ready. You're ready, so.
Drew Brees apparently is leaving NBC. And there was the talk he was going to maybe go to Fox and be their number one guy. And now that's not going to be the case at all. Particularly, well, after this year when TB12 goes and takes that job. So a report from Andrew Marchand of the New York Post says that he's going to leave NBC. And Brees said on Twitter, despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all the above. I'll let you know. Good call, bad call. He's back in the league this year.
Bad call.
I think it's a bad call too. I don't think he comes back and plays.
Yeah.
With the arm injury, the way he played at the end of his career. Even that Drew Brees, is probably better than a lot of guys in the league. If you think about it.
Yeah, maybe. I
don't know if he's better than 50%. Well, let's think about it very quickly here. Where would he go? Okay, say if he decides to do it, where would he go? Where would he could be plugged in right now and a good fit? Because he is better than a certain number of quarterbacks in the league, but not like he once was. Because I think that what we are seeing now is a starter. Backup, there's a lot of places he could go, and he'd be a great backup.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's not what he wants to do, and I don't blame him.
A starter, maybe.
Maybe in New York with
six
the Jets.
Or seven places.
Jets or Giants, maybe?
Jets, Giants, Washington, Detroit, there's four. Carolina, yeah. Seattle, seven.
Carolina would make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. So that's about it.
Seattle.
I mean, Jacksonville, but Trevor Lawrence is still so young. Yeah. I mean,
then say you could say the same about Zach Wilson, too, with the Jets. Do you want to?
That's a good point.
You know.
So maybe seven, five
Daniel
to seven.
Jones. Is that a little bit of a wash considering where Brees is at this point in his career?
But where he walks in the door better than the guy that's
there. It'll be Seattle.
There.
Seattle and Carolina.
Seattle, Carolina, Detroit.
Houston.
Chicago maybe, but Justin Fields is young.
Houston? Though they like Davis Mills, it seems
Yeah,
like.
Probably Houston. So maybe eight, I'd say, is a good number. So,
But not like it once would have been where if this was like 4 years ago, better than 50 to 60% of the league, possibly.
So, as we move on, a good call, bad call. Chris Paul is saying that the Suns will be right back here next year.
What?
Good call, bad call.
Losing in the second round?
They don't make it out of the second round next year. I think that's a good call.
I think
it might
too.
Be over. Because Devin Booker, has just wilted in big moments this year.
From last night in particular.
Yeah, I think the Suns are done.
DeAndre Ayton hasn't developed like...
Nope.
Remember how well he played against Nikola Jokic last year?
Yeah.
I mean, and he's still a young guy, but I'm
kind of... He didn't make another step. He's kind of coasting off of that performance last year.
I'm with you on that. Do you have a last second one here? Are you good? You good there?
I mean, yeah, no, I could. So I was looking on ESPN, the top five like most expensive ticket sales for this season, the hottest tickets for the NFL's 22 schedule release. Number one, if it'll load up here, is the 49ers and the Raiders at Raiders Week 17. $603 is like the average ticket.
And
is
that's at Allegiant?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They're... The Raider ticket prices are insane.
Yeah.
They're absolutely insane.
$603.
That's a bad call that I'd be paying that kind of money.
Not to go watch
not to go watch the Raiders.
No.
Raiders Broncos, not even then would I probably pay $600 to go watch. All right, 8:49. We will take a break. We'll come back. We'll have our Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs. That's up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
I'm a big sports addict.
I like sports.
Sports.
This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. 102.1 FM, Delta Montrose.
Welcome back, 8:53. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. All right, time for our Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs. I'm going to go with Leanna Bryant from the Central Girls Soccer Team. She had the two goals in the win over Holy Family, and Holy Family defending state champions, and for Leanna Bryant, who finished the year with 23 goals for Central, that... I mean, bit of history, as we mentioned, first ever Warriors postseason soccer win for the boys or the girls in the history of the school. So, unfortunately for Central, they lost at Windsor on Saturday 3-0, but I have Leanna Bryant as my female prep star of the week. And then Brett Rosman for Palisade, couple of home runs the other day in their win against Glenwood, picking up their 12th win in Western Slope League play. Of course, the Bulldogs have already clinched the league title, did that a couple of weeks ago. Number one team in the state in 4A baseball. Those are my prep stars, Leanna Bryant from Central and Brett Rosman from Palisade.
I'm going with Grand Junction shot putter Sailor Warriner. Did really well at the Tiger invite at Stoker. I believe she's headed off to the state meet.
Qualified for it,
yep.
Yes.
On the girls' side. On the boys' side, Dylan Noah, home run, three RBIs for Fruita Monument in their 11-6 win over Grand Junction. Loved his quote after that game about being at Suplicio with the smaller outfield. We just turn it loose. And he hits a dinger.
And then on the Mavericks' side, because we just have CMU baseball left as far as the postseason goes, boy, Hayden McGeary, your RMAC player of the year, hit a couple of home runs during the RMAC tournament run for the Maverick baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you had for the Mavericks as well in that loss to Metro State in the championship game on Saturday that Caleb Farmer had four hits for the Mavericks. Harrison Rogers had four hits for the Mavericks. Hayden McGeary, Harrison Rogers, those are my... Mighty Mavs from this past weekend.
I'm going to kind of go off the board a little bit. Cole Seward has 10 innings pitched on the year for the Mavericks baseball team. He went 3 1/3 against Metro on Saturday. Kept Mavericks in that game.
All right. We'll take a break. Hour 3 coming up.